You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, May 4th, episode 3942, brought to you by Worm Flooring. Good morning, Horse World. Oh my God, what an exciting weekend. Oh, and may the force be with you.
The fourth was with somebody over the weekend, that's for sure.
Oh my God, could it be any better? Like, seriously? First of all, oh my God, for a woman trainer. Like, this kind of just kind of skirted by everybody. I feel
you
like
you mentioned it last week in passing. I mean, just in passing. Wouldn't it be nice? You know, it was what
Well, to be fair, I may have put a wager on that because I was like, I'm just in love with the fact that a female trainer has a horse. And so, yeah, I did talk about Sherry DeVoe and her horse. And then when I was watching the race, you know how all the people that work for NBC, like, make their picks?
Yeah.
Donna Brothers was the only one to pick him.
Yes, yes.
And I was
she
like,
only did it because she was a woman, too. she said that.
Exactly. Yeah. And so Donna Brothers picked him. And so I had actually already made some bets. So Golden Tempo. Boom! I made some money. And then I always pick a long shot. And I was like, who's the longest shot? And it's like, oh, Selly or whatever. And so I put money on Win Place Show on him too. And I'm like, bam, I'm like a millionaire. I made like at least $95. That's crazy.
I wish you had bet the trifecta, let me tell you. Oh my God.
Oh my God. But can it just get any better? Okay.
No.
Down this, even for non-race people, this story is insane. Okay. Jose Ortiz is in the back of the pack. Very dead last. This horse runs like Zenyatta back to front. I've been so excited to talk about this all weekend. Okay. Like, my husband's out of town. I have nobody. I'm like, Lucas, let me tell you, they're coming down the stretch and he's in the back and he's racing to the front and he gets in a kind of one-on-one stretch race with his brother. His brother.
Larry Comas never even mentioned him till the final stretch.
It was insane because who knew that was going to happen? So stretch run with his brother and then they show Sherry DeVoe like, celebrate! Oh my God, I'm so excited.
She seems like a genuine just sweetheart. You know, she really does.
Yes, yes. I'm just so
good. She was as shocked as everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently that's how this horse is run every race, is like last to first or last to front, not even first. So it was just so exciting that we had this happen and then the stretch run. And then, okay, so like then Donna Brothers in her last interview ever at the Kentucky Derby, because she's retiring, is talking to Jose Ortiz and he's excited about all the children in Puerto Rico and like chasing their dreams. And then I love my brother and it was just my day. Like, I wish my granddad was here to see it, although he's seen it from heaven. I'm like, I can't handle this emotion. I'm crying. Then they start talking to Sherry DeVoe. She starts talking to her husband, Bob, dating her husband. It's supportive. It's like, oh my God, I just can't handle all the emotions. It was like so good. It was like movie. When's the movie?
You know, it is interesting that all the favorites, you know, Jennifer watches all day, so I kind of hear it in the background all day. And of course, they're talking about Renegade and they're talking about Commandment, you know, So Happy, talking about all those horses. And they mentioned Golden Tempo only because it's a female trainer. It's the only reason he got any mention at all. but they didn't come in. Renegade came in second, but he was the only one of the favorites. I mean, the others were way down the list.
That's the crazy thing about the Derby. It's just such an S show. Like, there's so many horses, and like, even the best ones, if you get stuck in the back, you're screwed.
And there were some bumper cars coming out of the gate, too. There were some serious bumper cars having to come out of the gate. It took a while to officially call it because I think they were rewatching that particular beginning of the race.
Yeah, because I did not get to see that how much money I made because they wouldn't like make the results official. So they must have been looking at it. But like, I had Golden Tempo to win and place. And then I had like Ocelli One Place Show. And to be fair, I did have a couple other things, but I still came out in the black.
If you come out in the black, you were doing good at this race, let me tell you.
I know.
Is there any way to figure out how many people actually got the trifecta? Do they publish that?
Do you read a? You go to AI and see what
that is.
I'll ask that because
it paid $11,000 on a $1 bet. Most people bet $2. It paid $25,000 for $2.
That's just incredible.
The superfecta. $94,000. Now, did anybody win? That's the question. You know, and I don't know.
I don't know if they reported or not. I mean, heck, I know that I had a friend win some really, really big one time, and they had to escort them out to the car.
How much do you think the trainer makes? How much do you think she makes?
So the trainer makes 10%.
Yeah, I always thought it was higher than that.
Yeah, no, the jockey makes 10%, the trainer makes 10%, and they make like certain percentage of what they win. But every jockey, I think the ones that all came in last, I think they get paid $95 to race. That's it. That's all they get paid.
So Golden Tempo, the winning purse was $3,100,000. So she made $310,000 and then the jockey made $310,000, which still isn't a bad payday, but she's the trainer. It seems like they should make more than 10%.
No, because who's footing the bill? She's getting paid every day to take care of the horse. It's her job. Now, does it benefit her so much more to have the horses win? Of course, but that's her job, is to just train the horses. And if they win, then she gets her 10%. It's totally fair. Because, like, think of the owners. The owners that I know, Matt and Leisha Gibson, I mean, just having a horse at Remington is like $2,000 a month they pay between vet and farrier and trainer and all that. That's true.
So who was the trainer? I can't remember who the trainer was for the second place horse.
It doesn't matter.
Was it Renegade? Do you remember who the trainer was for?
Was trying to remember. It was either Bob Baffert or Chad Brown. I'm trying to remember.
Bob Baffert or not.
Let's see.
So what happened to my picks? Two of them scratched. So, how about that slip at the beginning? That jockey, by the way, was damn lucky. Because, you know, there's an 18-hand horse. He went over.
Todd Pletcher, sorry.
I feel better about that a little bit.
Yeah.
So that horse went over and just missed that jockey. That jockey would have had a broken leg. It just missed his leg. That was a scary flip.
And of course, you know, all these awesome horse trainers online are posting pictures of him, like, because he's falling backwards and he's pulling on the reins, but he's trying not to die.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
so
this was
actually
one big ass horse too. I mean, it was almost 18-hand
horse. 17-3. And the horse rears up. And yeah, of course, he's on his tippy toes on a postage stamp. And they're like, he pulled him over. I'm like, I'm pretty sure 95 man did not pull over 17-3-hand horse.
That horse weighed a lot. That's a draft horse in thoroughbred close is what it was.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing too is, and I texted you this 20 years ago, and Jennifer said this immediately after it happened, because he was walking around for a while and the vet was checking him out. There was no way in hell in today's environment they were going to let him run. I don't care how sound he was.
No.
You know, 20 years ago, they'd have run him. They just thrown him in the chute and run him. But now they were never going to let that horse run after that.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine if they did let him run and then he broke down the stump? Because he's also 17-3. There's no reason that horse that big should be running this early. And it's like they didn't even let Zenyatta run till the fall of her 3-year-old year. And she was 17-2 as well. Just some of the things really irritate me.
I wonder about this. I wonder how it affects the horses that were already in the chutes, which was most of them, were already in the chutes, have to be taken back out. And then you have a 5-10 minute break. They're already psyched up and ready to go. Does that affect him? It has to, I would think.
At least they kept him moving. And it was shocking to me that no horse balked to getting in the gate again.
I know. I thought of that too. I did think of that too. But yeah, it was just an interesting race all around.
It was just so exciting. It was just, and then I think
it's what the
what
Kentucky
I read
Derby is supposed to be right there.
Yes.
It's what it's supposed to be.
Great stories, great people you can root for. I'm super excited. Now, the other thing that I want to talk about too, you guys, I wish we could play races. Glenn will let me. Why can't we play races?
Rights issues.
Okay. So we can't play all the races, but I would also like to point out that we had a winner over the weekend as well.
We did?
Caldera.
Oh, yes, we did.
Caldera won, everybody!
Yay! And, you know, we should care more about that. We all, 50 of us own a piece. So.
I mean, it was just a great horsey weekend, you know, between...
Have you checked our account to see how much we gained with our big
win? I did, but they hadn't posted it. I'll look right now and see.
If we won 50 cents, maybe a dollar?
Hey, he won.
I know,
we're
but
gonna
it was
make
like
at
a $10,000 claimer.
Optional. He was not, but I Googled to like kind of find the details of the race, and there Google said he might be heading to the Preakness.
No,
so I don't know. I mean, come on, worst weird
he ran
things
really
He's
well.
The gray.
I mean, he won like he ran really well. I did watch the race. He ran really well. He looked great. So
we have still not gotten paid.
What does it take us to make our dollar?
I will tell you that my last payout was Money Problem, and he was in a maiden special weight, and I won 70 cents. Thank you very much.
You won more betting on the Kentucky Derby than you have owning a racehorse, that's for sure.
I have several racehorses, yeah. But it's going to be fine because I think I'm putting it out into the universe because Seize the Gray won the Preakness. I think it's time for Caldera to win the Preakness. I'm doing it out. Yay!
Yes, redeem himself. Do you also realize this was the most watched Kentucky Derby in history? They hit 25 million people watching it.
That's fantastic.
You know what I noticed, too, even on my Facebook feed is my non-horsey friends, podcasting friends and things, we're all going to Kentucky Derby parties. I think it's more popular now than it ever has been. I really do.
Seriously?
With non-horse people.
I didn't get invited to one Kentucky Derby party. I watched it in my
house.
Because
we're horse people. We know better. We stay home and watch it in quiet.
So we can see the commercials.
God. That's the other thing, too. We don't watch commercials anymore because I pay for things, so I don't have to watch commercials anymore. And we had to watch commercials. Oh, my God. I don't get them. They're not for our demographic, that's for sure, because I didn't understand that. 90% of them. We'd look at each other and go, I don't even know what it was for. So commercials are definitely not for Jennifer and I, that's for sure.
All right, well, let's get to Daily Winnies, but I just want to say, like, that is the most exciting and emotional derby that I've seen in a very long time. And I'm
Since
super...
Since Mind That Bird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're going
to... made a movie out of that, so here you go.
Well, we do have a guest today, Auditor Melanie, who's been on our show several times before. Is going to share the magic of her farm's mystery trail ride. She ran a mystery trail ride, which I had no idea what that was. So we're going to get her on to talk about it because there aren't many things we haven't talked about in 15 years. We never talked about that. And we're going to share your harrowing and hilarious stories of why you almost died today. I don't know why you posted that, but I'm going to be interested.
It was
to
the
find
other
out.
Day. I'm alive. So spoiler alert, I made it, but.
Auditor post show, we're going to be talking. We got a question, and the question was that you and I and Jennifer, we all lived in Lexington for a period of time. What did we like about it? What didn't we like, and why did we move out of Lexington? One of our auditors asked that. So I thought we could answer that as well.
My question is, how deep into the trauma do you want me to get when I left Kentucky? Like, do you want me to just gloss over and just say, it was
too
cold?
I know the trauma. Let's gloss over it. Let's just say it's trauma that we're not going to talk about on the show today.
Well, there's some good reasons I left Kentucky, but there's also a really terrible ex-boyfriend who was like stalking me.
I think
so
all
I
you have to
him.
Say is ex-boyfriend and you're good. I mean, that's why you left.
That covers the whole thing.
Yeah, you don't even have to say more. I think we got it.
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm.
Happy birthday to Elena H. And we also, Jamie, have some new auditors last week, Hannah and Shawnee. That's how I knew a Shawnee once, and it was spelled the same way. I don't know if she says it the same way, but.
There's a town in Oklahoma called Shawnee, but I don't think it's the same place. Said the same way.
And also, congratulations to Kelly and Aaron. They had their wedding over the weekend. Remember, they were the ones that got engaged on the last Horse Lovers cruise. They got engaged on the cruise.
I love it.
And in 2 weeks, they're going on their honeymoon on our next Horse Lovers cruise in Alaska. So
that guy's a glutton for punishment, man.
And guess what they served? It was on the little card at the wedding. One of our other listeners went to the wedding and sent me the little card. Remember, she is the one that came up with drinks for our ponies. And she's the one that came up with Scooter's Kinky Pony. And she served Scooter's Kinky Pony at the wedding. So
that's awesome.
That was cool, Kelly. That was really cool. And she even put on there, this one was made for a podcast. And then also she brought, when we always get together for a pizza party before the cruises. And before the last cruise, when she was there, she brought all the fixins for a lot of Kinky Ponies. And I still have the bottle. And it's written on it, Scooter's Kinky Pony. So we
you
drank
didn't finish it, or you just kept the bottle?
I kept the bottle because she had written on it. It was cool. It's kind of an, you know, almost engraved actually, but it was very very cool. And I might have drank a few too many the night before the cruise. By the way, that's a wicked drink. I'll have to get the recipe for it again sometime. It's wicked. Oh, Butters.
Here's little poor little Butters. Well, first of all, I want to say congratulations to Alicia. She got a new horse. She calls it PC Baby, which is like, did you get that reference, Glenn?
No.
PC Baby?
No.
Okay, because there's a character on South Park named PC Principal. He's the principal of the school, and he's very PC, so it's hilarious.
Oh, that must have been later after I quit watching South Park.
Yeah, it bits and pieces are good now. It's a little so. Yeah, so anyway, congratulations to her. And yes, I have a new gelding. That's right. Baby Butters, who is just the sweetest baby angel in the whole wide world. In the last like 10 days, he's like, I have testosterone. I'm a goat.
Just
look
in
at
time,
me, I'm
huh?
a goat. Perfect time. Well, I was surprised when I called to make the appointment and they were like, we have tomorrow. And I was like, I'll take it.
How's he doing?
He's doing good. You know, the thing is, like, you have to, it just seems like the worst torture in the world. So like when you get them castrated, you are supposed to run them around for 20 minutes twice a day. And Butters doesn't run. Butters runs to food. Like, that's all he runs to. When I call him, he comes running up for food. And so I put him in the round pen and like nothing. Well, the horse that lives on my property that I just adore so much, I love him so much, Groot, I'm like, you have to have a job. So I put Groot in the round pen and I made Butters chase him. So it actually worked. So now I can get Butters moving. Because the first day I was like, I just ran 47 miles, waving my arms. Go, go, move, go, go. I took plastic bags, nothing. He doesn't care about nothing. So I got sweet angel Groot in there and made him run around, and then I made Butters chase him. So it worked out. It worked out great.
But he's healing good. All good there.
I mean, knock on wood, it looks good. So I think it's a lot easier when they're small like this.
Yeah.
You know, like I think his birthday is like this week or next week. So being that he was nice and young, I think it's not quite as intense as when Amigo had it done, which was, it's the difference in cantaloupes to walnuts. All right. Let's be honest.
And your new one arrived on Friday. Did they show up when they were supposed to?
They actually, Bob Hubbard showed up 2 hours early.
Early?
Early.
That's never happened.
I mean, how amazing is that? Yeah. So I'm like so inundated with information between the derby and the horses and the castration and all this. I'm sorry. I'm just talking a million miles an hour. But yes, Gray Lux has arrived and he is so lovely. And they pull up, Bob Harper pulls up and the guy gets out the trailer and he's like, I got your quarter horse. And I was like, no, he's not a quarter horse, but he is thick. He kind of looks quarter horsey. I was like,
did you have a minor heart attack at that moment?
Yes. Well, it's funny because I only saw him, you know, at the rescue, like, you know, anyway. So I looked in there and I was like, Chad's like, which one is it? I was like, oh, he's over there on the left side. And it was this beautiful gray horse. He was like, goes to put the rope on the other gray horse. And I was like, oh, wait, that's him. That's him over there. Yeah. I was like, do I get both? Can I just have both? Like, I'll just take both. So he's really sweet. I started him yesterday. It's like he's been here forever. He just walked right onto the paddock and he's like, this is cool. Never once was stressed. Never once was bothered. And so I started
just
yesterday.
The Andalusian, huh?
Yeah. Now, he will bite you. He'll bite you. Oh. So we got to get a little bit of that out of there.
A lot of those racehorses come with that, don't they?
Yeah, because when they hot walk them, they just constantly feed them peppermints, you know. So they teach him to bite by just giving him all this candy. So they're very mouthy. He'll get it. I don't know. See, the problem is, if you look him up on Equibase, Gray Lux, he never raced. So there's no connections established. It doesn't show me a breeder. It doesn't show me a trainer. It doesn't show me anything. So I don't know where he came from or when he got castrated or whatever.
Why did he race? Was he just lost in the system or?
So I did talk to New Vocations, gets that like on a report, and they said that he was, and I did look up his works, and this would be very true. He was not fast enough to even be competitive. And like, they didn't want to, he's royally bred. Like, he's incredibly well bred. His dad's essential quality. His grandsire is Tappet, and his grandsire is war chant on the other side. So he's amazingly well-bred. And they did not want to run him in claiming races because he just was not competitive enough for like running in Kentucky. Those horses that can't compete in Kentucky come to Oklahoma. And so he came to Oklahoma in a different capacity. So it was nice that they retired him. I was looking at his works, like 46, 47 for 4 furlongs is good. And he's like 52. Like, not even
enough.
That's
perfect for you, though.
You know? Exactly.
And he seems to be chill.
He's really sweet. He's,
what is
he's
three
good.
Or he, four?
He's three. So I have just
and
a pile of three-year-olds. I'd say probably 15, three.
Yeah, that's what I would have guessed, seeing him beside you.
But Ace came at three at 15, three, and he's now 16, two. So thoroughbreds just they keep going. Yeah, they keep going.
He does. He's pretty. He is pretty.
Yeah.
I like his color.
He's lovely. I'm pretty excited about it, you know.
More, but I like his color.
Yeah, he's almost like a little gray. He's a roan. He's got a little roan in him. But again, what I tell everybody with gray horses, I'm like, take lots of pictures because they're going to change every 5 minutes.
So is he one you're going to, well, he's only three, so you're going to start him slow at this point?
Yeah, just take my time with him, have some fun with him. I don't really have any goals or plans. I just really love training horses. I just really love the process. I love restarting thoroughbreds. So it just was really, because Amigo is a three-year-old that I'm restarting in a completely different way. I mean, same concept, but everything is very different with him. He presents a whole new set of challenges, whereas the racehorses present racehorse challenges. So, and I feel very confident and comfortable working with the racehorses because I've done, I think I'm at 220 now that I've restarted from the rescue and my own. So, yeah, it's crazy. So I have like I got some tricks in my pocket. You know what I mean? Like,
Amigo will challenge you a little to get beyond what your comfort zone, right? So
for sure. And I'm like, okay, well, I tried to ride him and he's like, I don't know how to turn without spurs and a whip and a big harsh bit. And I'm like, well, cool. I'm going to put the loosest snaffle on you and we're going to walk and learn to turn. So we've just been walking and turning and going over poles, but there's still that stallion of like, oh my God, I see somebody. So you just never know when that prediction, like that's going to happen. You can't predict it. So it's definitely a different challenge. And you have to ride him when he can't see any other horses. So I have to bring all the horses in and close all the top doors. Like, it's
lock
so
them up.
Weird.
See, here, you get in trouble because there's horses going by all the time on the road right in front of us.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's not okay. That would not be
carriages
okay.
Carriages and riders. And it drives. James gets a little. You know, Jennifer has to be careful too because James is out there when a carriage goes by with like two or four horses attached.
Oh my gosh, that would be so scary.
All the time in the winter, especially. Well, you know what? It's nice though, when you start hauling these horses around places, guess what kind of flooring they're going to be on in the trailer?
Only one kind of flooring. I was so comfortable with Butters being in the, I took Carl, Craigslist Carl, as his emotional support animal, and I loaded him up and nice and quiet and peaceful because they had worm flooring on my trailer floor.
And you know, it's a non-porous rubber seal that directly attaches to your floor. So you don't have to worry about picking up mats ever again. You don't have to worry about cleaning under them ever again. You don't have to worry about your floor rotting under there because of urine, none of that stuff. And you know, you said it, you think it's a little bouncier too, a little little more give to it than
a little. It's not slippery. You know, sometimes those rubber mats, they shift when you're driving or the horses walking around shift it or move
and
around.
They can be slick too. The rubber mats can get slippery.
Yes. And these are not slick. Even without bedding, it's not slick. You know, with rubber mats, when you're driving around, you want some sort of something on there usually to help you. Right. But then you got to clean it out. I'm telling you, if you don't have worm flooring in your trailer, get it. You'll be like, oh, my God, why didn't I do this like 100 years ago?
To find a dealer near you, go to wormflooring.com. Coming up, we could actually do Where Are They Now segment for Auditor Melanie, because she's been on the show several times before. She's done some wild, crazy things over her life. But this is not one that it's not wild, crazy we're talking to her about. It's something that we had never heard of. And I wanted to find out about it. You did a thing called a mystery trail ride. What's a mystery trail ride?
It's similar to sort of a hunter pace or a paper chase in the way that we preset a course and we marked it, and then we had clues along the trail that the participants had to take a picture of the clue with their phone or whatever and try to solve the mystery at the end. And then we had prizes for the teams that they had to know who did it, what their motive was, and where the trophy was hidden, because our crime, our mystery was what happened to the Silver Stirrup Cup trophy.
I love everything about this. Did you come up with this, or is it a thing that we just have never seen before?
Sort of. I had attended a mystery trail ride like maybe a year or so ago, but it was the only one I'd ever seen. And so I was like, you know, we could really do this at our barn. We have a pretty fun group of people. And then we actually put it out to the public. And so we had a much larger turnout than we anticipated, which was wonderful. Yeah. I mean, people were so into it. And you could go at your own pace. We have jumps through the woods and, you know, you can jump or not jump. Very easy course, about 3.2 miles long. And we're very lucky to be on some beautiful land here in Maryland and historic like horse land. So lots of fun stuff to do and lots of beautiful trails. So we really made the most of it.
So it's kind of a combination between an escape room and a murder mystery dinner party. You know,
kind of.
Yeah.
And a hunter pace. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this because you can do it with any horse, any level of rider. And you did teams, you said?
You could do a team, you could do it by yourself, you could do it on foot if you wanted.
And the clues along the way, they were...
Why would anybody do that?
Well, yeah, after having walked the course several times to get it prepared, I would not have chosen that method.
So you gave them, did you give them a sheet ahead of time with the clues on it?
No, the clues had to be found, so they had to follow the trail that was marked. And so that was also part of the mystery, was they had to be able to locate all the clues. Now, at the end, we did have the clues in case somebody missed one or forgot to get a picture or whatever. But we really wanted everyone to kind of solve it as they went along.
This is such a cool idea.
And we made the suspects mostly people in our barn so that like our locals and our boarders would know, you know, who Janice is and who Sam is and, you know, all the people. And then the actual evildoer was a fictional person.
I love this idea. So I can see it now, Jamie. She's going to be starting the Mystery Ride Association, and they're going to be rides all over the country.
That'd be so fun. Can you come to Oklahoma, please?
Yes. Yes. I was actually just in Texas, and I was like, I should have visited Jamie while I was so close, but...
The map I found on your Facebook page, is that yours? Is that your?
Yeah.
Oh, can I post it? Can I post it as
of course.
In the show notes? Because it's
yes.
so cool.
I made a map because we had one course. And then 2 days before the ride, my trainer decided that for various reasons, that course was not going to work.
Of course.
So I had to redo everything.
Of course.
But at least I'm an excellent map maker now.
So how many people showed up?
I think around 40.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You were expecting 20, weren't you?
We were expecting, yeah. We thought, oh, we'll get like a group from our barn and some of our friends that are local. And people came from, you know, a couple hours away.
That just goes to show you that people are looking for something fun and different to do, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I love this idea. And this is something that you could do. I mean, if you had permission, you could do it at a Game Lands or any place like that.
Sure. Yeah.
As long as it's marked, right? I love this idea. If
all right, you got to patent it. Start a whole association.
You better patent it.
Better buy that domain right now.
Yeah, I can see the board game coming now. Mystery Ride.
Oh my God.
Melanie's Mystery Ride board game.
it turned out better than I think even we anticipated. And everyone was extremely complimentary of, you know, it was so much fun.
Well, I love this idea. I'll put a link. What's your farm called again?
I board at Dovecote Equestrian.
Okay. And can I put a link to your Facebook page if somebody wants to message you? Okay, I'll do that. I'll put a link to your Facebook page. That way they can message you if they want more information on this.
Yeah, I'd be happy to send someone a blueprint.
Because this is something, if you have any land at all, you could do, right? I mean,
you don't need a lot because you can space the clues however far apart you want. And you can even backtrack or do like a figure eight or something like that if you needed to.
Very cool, Melanie. We don't get to hear about too many new things in this show anymore. And I love that this. Did you see Jamie? Did you guys see each other at Kentucky?
No, I kept my eyes peeled, but I did not see Jamie.
She was basically ghosting me. I kept chasing her around and she just disappeared.
You know, problem is I won the golden ticket at the Cosequin booth for a private course walk with Will Coleman. And then he just took up too much of my time.
How was that anyway?
It was great.
Yeah.
It was really great.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Was it really just you and Will?
It was like five or six of us and Will. Yeah.
That's amazing. Because I know that one of our listeners won a private course walk with Bruce Davidson. And that did not go as they thought.
So, oh, no.
That's cool that you got a good one. I don't remember you offering me your plus one. So I'm just going to let it go.
Yeah, that was a hotly debated item amongst my friends who were there. So, but Will was great. And it was really nice to walk the course with him. And then the next day we actually got to watch him ride the portion of the course that we walked, and watching him ride his plan to a T was just really neat.
Cool. That's very cool. That is very cool. So,
and then have a pretty good finish. So, you know, I mean, it was pretty
awesome.
Yeah,
he did okay. He did all right.
He's a nice guy, too.
I think he's got some potential.
He's a nice guy, too. He really
is. He's very nice. Yeah.
That guy's going places.
So, and we got another big one coming up this weekend, just not in this country. You know, badminton's coming up.
Yeah.
It happens like 3 weeks in a row. We have all these big things that are happening. I know our friend Samantha is flying over there. She'll be over there for it. So,
yeah, my friend Ginny, I think she left today to go, and I'm very jealous.
Now, we talked to you, what is it, a couple years ago now when you did the Gaucho Derby? Was it a couple years ago?
Well, I was signed up, and that was the year they canceled it due to COVID.
That's right. Are you going to go back?
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm getting too old.
The ship has sailed, Glenn.
Yeah, I don't know. Everything hurts.
I don't know. How many riders were 60 years old at Kentucky?
I know. Well, good for them.
Yeah, right? Good answer. Glenn, she'll sign up.
There's not enough ibuprofen in the world.
That's what I said. I'll sign up as soon as Glenn does. So there you go. You're our leader.
I like it.
Yeah. Thank you, Melanie.
You know, Glenn, that makes me think you could actually do the mystery trail course on a carriage, like driving.
I could if I had a pony that wasn't, you know, lame and all, everything.
Retired. He's retired.
Lame and retired. Thank you, Melanie.
Scooter's earned his retirement.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Bye. Talk to you soon. Bye bye.
Whether you're navigating rocky trails or transitioning your horse to barefoot, a great ride starts from the ground up. Cavallo hoof boots are the dependable choice for real riders, providing essential traction and concussion relief across any terrain. Celebrating 20 years of proven performance, these boots aren't just a trend. They're a practical, horse-first solution designed for total confidence. What sets Cavallo apart is its simplicity. That's why I like them. They are incredibly easy to fit and to put on, requiring no special trims or complicated systems. This comfort-first design is why they are trusted by icons worldwide, from the late Queen Elizabeth II to Beyonce. Whether for trail riding, rehab, or extra protection over metal shoes, Cavallo boots stay on through the toughest conditions. Don't settle for less when it comes to hoof protection. Visit cavallo-horse.com today and see why they've been the industry standard for 2 decades. They're also available at almost every tack shop and certainly every tack shop online.
I just want to also piggyback on your Cavallo hoof boots. Oh my gosh, what an amazing company. So they have really helped me transition some of these race horses from the shoes, the race plates, to barefoot. But some of these horses, when you pull their race plates, you have to pull the race plates when they get off because they have toe grips in them and they can hurt themselves. So you pull them off, but then so many times their foot is crumbly or just not.
Chunks of hoof come off. Yeah.
Flat, you know, and Chung. And I would like to put them straight to work when they get here. So I would like to think of all of, they had sent me a couple boots like last year or 2 years ago, and I just was having trouble fitting some of these bigger racehorses. Oh my gosh. They're like, hey, you work for a rescue. They just sent me a bunch of boots for bigger horses. Like, just did it. They're so kind. Because if you need boots, like Cavallo is the, I mean, they're just amazing, amazing people. So thank you so much, Cavallo. You're just awesome.
They are good people. They really are. And it's a family run business. So it's, you know, it's really cool that way too. That's appropriate, huh? This day in equine history brings us, it brings us back to racing, actually. Did you know that historically in both England and Australia, May 1st was designated as the official birthday for all thoroughbreds?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that was way back, and the Jockey Club issued a decree stating that in 1834, it would get switched to January 1st instead of May 1st. But it was different before that. I didn't know that little bit of history. On May the 3rd, 1952, the Kentucky Derby was broadcast on national television for the very first time. A horse named Hillgale won the race, but the real winner was the sport itself. It transformed the Derby from a regional Kentucky event into the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. And as we know, it still is today. In ancient Rome, May 1st was the peak of the Floralia, a festival honoring Flora, the goddess of flowers. While modern festivals use parade floats, the Roman used horses and donkeys decorated with elaborate floral garlands. This is one of the earliest recorded instances of floral horses, a tradition that survived through the centuries, and a lot of people say evolved into using the floral blankets like we saw on Saturday in ceremonies. So
let me stop you. I have a request.
Okay.
When you do this history segment, I cannot in my brain jump from 1864 to 1952 and then back
Keep
to
up.
Ancient Rome.
Keep
You've
up.
Got to put it on a timeline.
Keep up.
My brain is fried.
It's
I can't
to keep
do
you
it.
Awake. Now we're going back to 1910.
Oh. Okay, sure. From ancient Rome to 1910.
Would your mind help if I put them in order? Would you like me to put them in?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Just like start timeline-wise.
All right,
I'll start
put them in order
earliest
for you.
To latest.
See, this, for my ADD brain, makes perfect sense because this is the way my brain works.
That's so crazy. I'm like, wait, hold on. Wait, when was that? 1834? Okay, 1952. Ancient Rome!
All right, I'll do them in order just for you. On May the 4th, 1910, newspapers across England noted the anniversary of the legendary Old Billy, who was recognized as the longest living horse in recorded history. This was one we talked about before that I don't really believe. While he actually died in 1822, his story became a May Day legend. They celebrated him on May Day. Old Billy was a barge horse who lived, they say, to the age of 62.
You know what they say about legends.
It always doubles every 100 years. So he was probably about 30 when he died.
Horse was 162 years old. It was amazing.
Yeah, another 50 years, so I've been 162. That's correct. But there was a big deal back then. All the newspapers covered it. And every May, they celebrated his birthday.
That was back in the day where there was no internet. And you couldn't find out that old Billy was not registered. He just belonged to old Jonathan who ran the barge.
AI wasn't around back then. And I don't know if they read teeth back then or not. But anyway, there
it's
it is.
Fine.
It's part of history. What you posted this the other day, and I wasn't sure why. So what did you post in the auto room the other day?
I feel like I've talked too much during the show. I've been a little bit chatty, but that's because I've just had quite the weekend. So I asked our auditors because I had a experience and I was like, oh, I almost died today.
Ooh.
I almost died today. I wonder if anybody else has had experiences like that. And so I went to the auditor Facebook page and I just said, I almost died today because... fill in the blank. And then, I mean, we're all basically what I'm getting out of this is we're all lucky to be alive.
Like, I haven't read any of these. So.
Okay, so I'll just go through theirs and then I'll tell you.
Okay, you're okay. We'll do the other.
No, I'm saving mine to the end. Jen says, and again, if you want to participate in things like this, do you have to become an auditor, Glenn? How do they do that?
Just go to horseradionetwork.com, scroll down the middle of the page, you'll see an auditor banner, and click that. And for as little as $3 a month, you can join also.
Okay, so basically what this is some of them are funny, some of them are scary, and then I'll tell you mine. Jen says, it was windy, and I rode my five-year-old thoroughbred. Yes.
Just, you don't need to say any more than that.
Do you know, I posted something about riding a thoroughbred in the wind, and somebody was like, isn't your horse in the wind all the time? And I was like, clearly you've never ridden a horse before, because like, it's totally different.
No, it's a good observation by a non-horse person. Like, they're in the wind all the time.
It was a horse person. And I was like, wait, you have horses and you've never experienced
kite
flying? Probably. Yeah. I don't know. I just recognize horse person name. Yeah, it's just different when you're riding him. Okay. Rebecca says, my husband almost ran me over with our horse trailer.
Oh.
I feel like we needed more information, Rebecca. So if you could
send me a little PM. I feel like you're the one that could have gotten out of the way, but I'm just saying.
You always side with the husband. Kimberly says, it was my last horse show, and between the rain and the wind, there was an easy up canopy, and I was sitting on my horse.
These are always a disaster at horse shows.
Always. Back to the impending assault, upon realization, my horse, apparently it blew over and like tumbled towards her horse. She said her horse resembled a bowling ball and the horses in front of us pins.
And we've all been at the horse show where the tents go and the wind kicks up. Oh, we've all been there.
Again, back to the, I rode my thoroughbred in the wind. It's totally different when you're on them.
So wind is winning today.
Diana says, I was out riding on a trail in Norco, which is the streets in Norco, California, with lovely trails all over town. And my sister and I came up to a traffic light and she pushed the button. And when I pulled my mare to stop, my rein broke. All of a sudden, I had a left rein. That is the worst when that happens. And you know what? I used to be able to reach forward and grab the bit and be like, stop. Now I'm like, oh, well, where are we going?
Remember, they have the coolest buttons to push for the red lights because they're up high.
Yeah, horses. They're up high for horse riders. All right, Jan Ann said, this is awesome. I stepped on a hot wire fence my husband swore was turned off to retrieve a hay bag. Turns out my three-year-old had saw it unplugged, and he goes, Nene's get out, and plugged it back in, and she didn't know. Honey, it'll be fine. Talk about trust issues with your husband after that.
I got a good zap the other day. Ours works really well. I got zapped the other day. Just, you know, everybody has electric fence gets zapped. You just do. And ours has got a zap to it. And she's absolutely right, though. The horses know the instant you turn it off. They just know.
They know. I will tell you, too, that when I used to test the electric fence, I would be like, hey, Lucas, can you touch this? And he doesn't fall for it anymore. He's over it.
He's a teenager now. He's not falling for that anymore.
Nope. Okay. Debbie said, last Saturday, I was bent down clipping excess fetlock hair on the front hoof when my mare kicked up at a fly on her belly. I connected with my head and sent me sprawling.
Ooh,
oh, my
that's
God.
Stuff right there.
See, you need a helmet whenever you're working around your horse.
A lot of people have Summer been seriously said, hurt that way.
Uh-huh, yeah, I got a knee in the eyeball. Now I've learned to, like, I don't know, just avoid front or back or middle. Sit up to the side. Summer says, while I was playing with a cart pony, I did this one because you'll appreciate this, we missed a turn and hit one of the cones. But it turns out that under the cone is now a tower of an ant mound.
Oh.
So they tilted up and almost flipped instead of just running through the cone. That's a problem. Somebody should check that.
That's like having a beehive under the cone.
Yeah, exactly. Laura says, and this is terrifying, the new high-powered vacuums at the car wash sucked my finger into it and scared me. This happens when you have a basset hound, Adrian. My blue heeler decided to sit down behind me just as I was taking cookies out of the oven. They're like,
oh no.
It's like having an ottoman sitting behind you. Yes. The dog says, like, I'm just going to lay behind you and you step back. You don't know they're there. She said no cookies or dogs were harmed in the process. Human received a minor burn and a severe adrenaline rush.
You can have a face full of hot cookies. That would be good.
Courtney said, I gave birth 7 months ago and tried biking up my very hilly neighborhood without stopping to walk. Spoiler, I stopped to walk. Shelly said, I test drove a Defender at Kentucky and didn't know going 5 miles an hour on that course is too fast. I won't drive that thing.
Oh, did you have you've done it before? Didn't we do it together once?
It's terrifying. I don't want to do
it. The straight up thing is kind of terrifying. And then the straight down thing.
I'm sure this car can do it. I'll be the first person in like Kentucky history to flip one of the cars and the thing. Rhonda said, I tripped going up the steps.
We recorded while we were doing it one time in the very early years.
Did we? Gosh, we were so cool. We were so ahead of our time. My story is I was riding. I set up this obstacle course to work on like the horses' really proprioception and like using their back. And so I had done all the horses and I was like, I'm going to take Ace around it. Ace is my sweet baby angel, 7-year-old thoroughbred, and he's amazing and he's perfect. And so I was riding him, and I just put the Western saddle on. I was like, let's go Western. You know, I actually was just wearing jeans, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to go Western. So I threw the Western saddle on him, rode him around, and then we went through the obstacle course, and he was like, perfect. He was great. So I'm like, okay, you know what? Ace now canters from the walk, which if you haven't, like, I ride green horses, and so it's so fun to be able to do transitions from walk to canter. And I was like, I'm just going to ride him like an old cow pony here. So I get on him, and I'm walking around the corner, and I put my outside leg back, and he jumps into the canter, and I had a loose rein. Well, I realized as he's cantering, like, I was trying to, I'm like, just canter normally without getting fast, because he's used to being in a frame and having, like a connection. And without a connection, he was just like, frazzled and started getting really, really fast. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to just ride this. You're going to learn to canter more reasonably. And so he's like basically running off. And so I was like, okay, every time you run off, I'm going to put you on a circle. And so I pull my inside rein, just set it up and make him canter around one of the jumps, canter around, canter around, canter around till he slowed. And then he just like would not slow down. And he was like, yeah, basically galloping. I'm like, we have so much work to do if you cannot not take off on a loose rein.
Yeah, cross-country course is going to be a bummer.
Well, like, what if a kid was riding him and they don't understand that frame and connection? Like, you just drop the reins and he just blasts. And so we worked on this for quite some time. And I finally was like, you're going to hurt yourself. I'm going to continue to work on this, but I have got to stop because I'm exhausted. You're exhausted. This is not working. So I've trained all my horses to come to the mounting block so I can get off. I've broken my left foot too many times. I just teach them all to get off the mounting block. So he takes me over the mounting block and I get off and I realize my girth is no longer on.
What?
My Western girth My cinch is it wasn't like flapping, but it had completely come undone. And it was probably a foot below his belly. Okay. And had slid back.
This whole thing was your fault?
Of course. That's why he was galloping, you dummy. Like, he's like literally galloping his balls off because
smacked in the belly.
It's a bucking strap at this point. I mean, how I did not come off the back of this horse, how I did not go off the side.
Yeah.
How did he not buck me off? This horse is a saint. And here I am like, you son of a bitch, get galloping. Fine. It's just, and so I was like, so I dismounted.
Every Western
and I was like,
rider's now laughing because the English riders have so much trouble doing cinches. And Jennifer's just now figured it out.
Okay. So like it has buck. So what I've realized, and I went to on YouTube and I was like, I've got to figure out how to tie this thing. Apparently it has one of those that pokes through the holes, you know?
Yeah.
So I figured out how to tie it. And I looked and the first thing she said was like in Western saddle fitting on YouTube, it was like, if you have nylon straps, you need to get rid of those. Immediately they will slip and come undone. You need to buy leather latigo. I was like,
Jennifer did do that. Okay. Yeah, she did that.
Yeah.
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 That makes sense that they'd be slippery, nylon.
They just have been, like, unworked themselves. And I can't, like, I said, and I was like, oh my God, I almost died today. Like, and he was galloping. I am, what a saint. He did not buck or duck out or do something else. Here I am, like, the son of a gun is not trained.
But this shows you a lot about your balance, that you were able to stay on the horse without the saddle being attached.
Well, thank you for finding a bright spot.
I'm trying here. Or it says a lot about the saddle. Probably both of you, actually.
I like to think it was my immensely awesome balance that kept me from falling off. But the fact that it didn't just slide back and just become a bucking strap and, like, leave me sitting on his sacrum, you know, like his tail, like, oh, hi, here's your tail. Like, no. Amazing.
So you truly did almost
die.
It was a little more severe than sticking your finger in the vacuum cleaner. It was.
Yes, but that's why I was like, I can't just tell the story. I have to keep it light.
Hey, there was a, we're going to end the show on this, and auditors, hang on. We're going to answer a question from one of you about Lexington, Kentucky. But we all know that Spirit Airlines bit the dust last week. But there was this really cool story that happened. This Captain John Jackson was scheduled to fly on his final flight home. He had flown out with Spirit, and it was his final flight home before he retired. They make a big deal about that. And Spirit closed. He never got his final flight home. He had to catch his own ride home. Well,
poor timing.
I know, really poor timing. I think it was in Texas, too, if I remember right. So what he did is he ended up on a Southwest flight. But his son, Chris, was a first officer on the Southwest flight. This is all just happenstance. No, this is all just, it just was coincidence. So he's traveling in the back, you know, and his son realized that this was a special day and he wasn't going to get it. So Chris's son called ahead to wherever they were landing. It called Southwest Corporate. And by the time they landed, they do the fire truck hose thing where they shoot water over the plane as you're coming in and stuff. What's your final flight as a pilot? They had all of that set up. They had a whole greeting party ready for him when he came in. They were cheering. They had champagne waiting for him when he came off the plane. That is, and you know what? Aww. I'm not sure anybody but Southwest would have done that for another captain. I'm not sure, but Southwest is just good at that stuff.
So Southwest is great like that, but I would say, like, if Chad knew that somebody from, like, the whole thing, like, it was shocking. Spirit Airlines is gone.
Just
like,
gone.
All these people are out of jobs. All these, and like, here's this guy that is on a flight. He's expecting to pilot home. That's how unknown it was to everybody.
Yeah, he had already done his flight out and before the flight.
And especially if your son is the FO, like, yeah, that's so cool. I'm so glad he
did
that.
Whole thing was just a really cool story. It really was. And, and also let Chad know there's going to be a few planes for sale. I know he's looking for one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure he wants that one.
Probably get it cheap. And you know what? He can take all his friends. No problem.
Everybody, we're going to let's go to Europe.
He's always wanted a bright yellow plane. There you go. It's perfect.
That would be funny.
It was sad. There was a whole group, like teams and teams and teams and cheerleaders in for a national competition at Disney World, all flying Spirit back. They're all stuck. Disney World, good place to be stuck, but they have to get flights back. And you know how hard to get flights right now. So
have you ever flown Spirit?
No, I did not. It was really budget, wasn't it?
Yes, very, very. Chad always says you got to pay for your seatbelt. buckle your seatbelt. I don't have one. Oh, it's $25. Like, that's Spirit. But I haven't flown Spirit, but I've flown another one that's similar to that. And it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. So, yeah, RIP Spirit. I told Chad, I'm like, there's a whole lot of pilots that are going to be applying for jobs. And he's like, yep, everybody's going to get a job now.
All right, let's call it a day. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Appreciate it, auditors. Hang on.
Bye. Spay, neuter, gelds.